I want to welcome you again to our Easter service. Glad that you are with us. Kind of a heads up that Carlene, you better be watching. Carlene had a successful hip replacement. Tomorrow will be 1 week. And Billy is doing, he's probably doing a satisfactory job as a caregiver. So they are out this morning, and so continue to pray for Carlene. If you are our guest this morning, we are really glad that you are here. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. I hope you feel His Spirit. And I also want to say that I know I told the early service that some of you are members that haven't been in a while, and I want you to know we are glad that you're here. We're really glad that you're here. And I was teasing with the early service. We will meet again next week for everybody. Next Sunday, 8:30 and 10:45, just in case anybody was wondering. If you are our guest, we are especially glad that you're here. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that has a blue stripe and says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but at the end of the service, I'll be out at this end and would have a free gift for our guests, and we'd love to meet you. So as we go to a time of prayer this morning, I was telling the early service that it is a joyful day. It is a celebration, but I also am keenly aware that sometimes days that are joyful can also be difficult. Some of us have lost someone. Maybe that chair around the table is empty for the first time. There's all sorts of reasons that this day could be hard as well. Just the loss or loneliness or grief in some way, just lots of different ways. But you know, God's Word tells us, and Jesus has proven Himself, that He is the God of all comfort, that He is the Prince of Peace, and that He draws near to the brokenhearted. So I want us to press into that today, that God would reveal Himself, His joy. You know, in Psalms 50:51, David prays, "Restore to me the joy of Your salvation." So that is what we want to press into this morning. So if you'll bow your head and pray with me. Father, we do indeed celebrate that the tomb is empty, that You are alive. And as we'll talk more about today, Jesus, that changes everything. It even changes the way we grieve. As Your Word says, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. We have hope, and hope is Jesus. So God, would you do what only You can do? Would You draw near to those who are struggling in some way today? Jesus, You am reminded that you said, "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." That's Your heart for us, oh God, that we have rest and that we have joy. So would You convey that to all of us, each of us? The joy of Your salvation, the joy of an empty tomb, the joy that this life is not the end, that You have purchased us eternal life. We love You. We can never repay the debt that we owe You. The very next breath that we take comes from You, oh God. We pray now the prayer that Your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just a reminder, we have offering boxes for your offering on each exit point. You can give online through our app, and we appreciate your faithfulness. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This chapter is chock full of good stuff. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of, it was fairly important. Is that not what it says? Oh, first importance. Sorry. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Verse 12, but if it is preached that Christ had been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Seemed like they had problems in the first century too. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. And here's an important word, verse 12, the very first word, but. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We ask you now to speak. No one wants to hear from me. I don't even want to hear from me. We want to hear from you. We know all about Easter, but would you penetrate our hearts deep with what that means? Speak in power and authority, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today's message is He's Alive. You know, the first time I watched that video, I was telling early service that they kind of woo you in with the lack of motion, but when it's zooming across that body, when Jesus takes that first resurrected breath, it took my breath away. It should take our breath away, church, to realize what He's done for us. So today's message, He's alive. You know, a pastor friend of mine a few years ago was telling me, this is kind of a sad story, but he was telling me that his church, it wasn't this church, another church, that they were having a meeting and it wasn't going well. There was a lady in the meeting that was disagreeing with everything else that everybody else wanted to do, and they argued for a little while, and this little lady, he said, she finally threw up her hands and she said, Jesus would roll over in his grave if he knew what y'all were doing. That pretty much settled the issue. It's like, well, she really doesn't get it, guys. Because Jesus isn't in the grave. Jesus is alive. And church, that should change everything for us if we believe that. It should change everything if we really and truly believe it. So I'm going to, before I start going into some points that I want to make about the the scripture today. I want to just dive a little bit deeper into this 1 Corinthians 15. The first thing is that God's word says that we are saved by the gospel. The gospel saves us, which tells us a couple of things. Number one, that we need to be saved. And secondly, the way to be saved is the gospel. So, and it goes on to say this gospel that saves us is of first importance. So Paul lays it out for us. The gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. There's over 350 Old Testament prophecies that foretold this Messiah that was coming and what was going to happen and what was going to take place. And so he's saying Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. In other words, God had been telling us that he was coming and he was going to die for our sins. And then verse 4, that he died for our sins and he was buried. And then the end of verse 4, and then he was raised on the third day again according to the scriptures. And so the gospel is the good news. Gospel is good news of Jesus Christ, is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was in the grave, dead, as they say, dead as a doornail. He was dead. The Romans knew what they were doing. And then on the third day, just like that video, he took his first resurrected breath. That's good news, church, and we are called to share it. So I was telling the early service that, theologically I've always understood this, but it really came to me this week that, you know, Christ, we participated with Christ in all of that. It was our nails that he took. We hung on the cross with him. He took our sins. So we were involved there, our sins. And then as he laid in the tomb waiting for that Easter morning, we somehow are dead. And then that we participate in that part of the story with him. And then as he rises from the dead, we are now also risen in Christ from the dead. So that whole weekend, Friday through Sunday, we are part of that. Now, so if we believe that Jesus really was resurrected, does it matter? I mean, is that important? I've told this story to, if you... you may have heard it. If you haven't been to our church before, you may not have. But I ran across a religion professor in my studies I really have no idea how you can be a Christian and have this belief. But he told me face to face. He told me, I'm not sure the crucifixion happened, in my mind I'm thinking, then you're not a Christian. I mean, because that's foundational to our faith. It's not that there's a lot of things we can disagree about, the color of the carpet, and you know, we like that song or we don't like it. We can disagree about a lot of things, but the crucifixion and the resurrection isn't on the list. Amen. So he's something else. He's not a Christian. He may be spiritual or whatever, I don't know, but he's not a Christian, because that's foundational to being a Christian, is believing in the crucifixion and the resurrection. So this passage today, I love the way he flips it. If the resurrection didn't happen, if it didn't happen, he gives us all these different bullet points of where we would be. First of all, verse 13, if the resurrection didn't happen, then Christ has not been raised from the dead. And you just Google, there's different theories out there that people that are trying to disprove the resurrection will... And I read some more on that this week, and it's just, it's laughable. It really is. And number one, the swoon theory. Anybody ever heard of the swoon theory? That Jesus was just kind of in a coma. He wasn't really dead, that he just kind of recovered for 3 days in the tomb. And the swoon theory, I love that one. And it's like, you know, I mean, the Romans came to him to break his legs, to accelerate death, and they're like, this dude's already dead. But just to make sure, let's go ahead and pierce his side, which was prophesied, by the way. So if the resurrection didn't happen, then Christ hasn't been raised from the dead. And verse 14, I love this. My preaching is useless, Paul says. Guess what? My life is useless. If Christ was not resurrected, then I'm wasting my time right now. I'm wasting my life. Steve, you wasted your life if the resurrection's not real. Anyone who has, Jim, anyone who's had, Larry, anyone who has had a call of the gospel in their life to share the gospel, that's that. We get up in the morning, I want people to know that Jesus died for them. He loves them. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, that we're wasting our time. My preaching is useful. Our faith is futile and useless. We're still in our sins. This really gets me. Those who have died proclaiming Christ as Lord are lost, Paul says, if the resurrection didn't happen. It's all just nonsense. We are to be pitied more, in verse 19, we are to be pitied more above all others if the resurrection didn't happen. But then that beautiful word in verse 20, but he was resurrected. He has indeed been raised from the dead. So all those things that if the resurrection didn't happen, none of those are true. I'm not wasting my time right now. I'm not wasting my life. If you share the gospel with someone in your family or at work or at the grocery store or at the pump and gas, you're not wasting your time. It's a life and death situation. You're sharing life. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in him. I was telling early service, spring break week, our spring break doesn't always go the way we think it's going to go. I did 3 funerals in 9 days through spring break. And we lost our precious Wally Wise. Many of you knew Wally. What a great man. Chuck Irwin, who just joined our church 2 or 3 months ago, lost his wife, Jean K. Irwin. And Stephanie Bates, many of you probably did not know Stephanie. Stephanie passed away at 40. She struggled 2 or 3 years with cancer. And in each, I got to visit with each one of those, in Jean K.'s case with her husband Chuck. But I got to visit with them or their family, and I want to tell you, Jesus makes a difference. Amen. When you're facing, you know, I tell people this sometimes even at funerals. Did you know that none of us are getting out of this life alive? Some of you look shocked by that statement. None of us are getting out alive. It's just whenever God's ready to take us, that's it. But Jesus makes a difference. I see it all the time with families who are grieving. Stephanie Bates, we had so many wonderful conversations. She was in her late 30s when she was diagnosed with cancer. And we talked about very directly about, I would ask her, are you comfortable with eternity? Are you comfortable with the future? What lays out, whatever happens? And she was like, yes. You know the one thing she was worried about? She didn't want to see her family grieve. She was like, I'm good to go. Me and Jesus, I'm ready to meet him. Jesus makes a difference. So the first point I want us to kind of go over, Jesus is alive, and that proves he is who he claims to be and has the power he claims to have. Well, who did he claim to be? He claimed to be God. Now some you can read about this too if you Google it. You know, Jesus, there's a lot of people trying to disprove that Jesus was the Son of God and all that, and they'll say Jesus never proclaimed that he was God, and nobody else ever proclaimed he was God. This is Greek, so be ready. Look, I don't know how you spell it, but that's Greek. That's nonsense. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one, Jesus says. He goes on, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then, after Jesus was resurrected, and the disciples are on the mount with him, and it says that they bowed down and worshiped him. Who do you worship? You worship God. You don't worship a man. They worship God. I and the Father are one. Jesus not only is who he claimed he was, but he has the power he claims to have. Jesus said, No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and guess what? He goes on to say, and I got the power to take it up again. I will lay it down and just watch. Give me 3 days. Amen. Check back with me in 3 days. He is who he claims to be, and he has the power he claims to have. Now, second point, Jesus is alive, and that proves he does what he promises to do. Well, what did he promise to do? He made a lot of promises. Number one, he told the disciples, I forget the exact count. I've counted it up before, but in the Gospels, I think there's around 18 different times that it's recorded where he's telling his disciples what's going to happen when they enter Jerusalem. He's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He's going to be beaten, and he's falsely accused and beaten and whipped, and he's going to be killed, and on the third day he's going to rise from the dead. And he's telling them all this over and over. And my favorite passage about that, right after he's told them that, and it says, then they're entering Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Man, I know I say that a lot, but that proves God's love for us. Is Jesus could have turned and avoided Jerusalem when he said, if I go to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen. But instead, he tells them what's going to happen in Jerusalem, and guess what? He's the one leading the way into Jerusalem. Why in the heck would he do that? Because he loves us. He knew that the only way we could have our sin paid for was for him, the Holy One of God, to pay for our sins. And then the angel proclaimed the passage that's been read already this morning. The angel said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Even the angel knew this dude was crucified. I know you're looking for this dude that was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. He said he was going to die. He said he was going to rise, and he did it. Thirdly, Jesus is alive. And that proves your past can be forgiven and your future can be secure. The folks that I just talked about that I did funerals for a couple of weeks ago, their future is secure because of Jesus. You know, a few years ago, I went to the hospital just right down the street to the hospital, and I was in a room with a man who was dying of cancer, and I think he knew it. He was still in the battle against it, but I think he knew that this was probably going to take his life. And we're sitting there in the room, it's just the two of us, and I could just tell. I mean, sheer terror was just written all over his face. And I remember asking. I said, called him by name, and I said, "Are you afraid? Are you afraid of death?" And tears just started streaming down his face. And he said, yes, I'm terrified. And I said, you know, leaving here today, walking to my truck in the parking lot, I could be hit by a vehicle and I could go before you. And I said, do you know what I would say if I'm at the gates and they're wanting to know if I should come in? I would say to them, check the Lord's book. My name's in there. My name's in there. And I said, is your name in there? And he said, I don't think so. And I said, do you want it to be in there? It's not a matter of your past or how good you are or any of that thing. It's about a Savior that loves you and died for you. And he accepted Christ in the room. And from that point forward, he passed away a few months later. And his wife didn't really know that story at the time, and I went to see him at his house a couple of weeks later, and she said, man, it's just been different. He's different. He's got joy. He's got peace. And before, he was afraid, and he was angry. Jesus makes a difference, amen. Church. Our past can be forgiven and our future can be secure. And as I said those words to him in the hospital, I didn't read the scripture, but Revelation 3:5, Jesus says, "He who overcomes will be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And church, I was telling the early service that, I was telling my wife last night that, I don't know, I think the enemy was just, he kind of pounding me last night. I was just kind of down. I was just about today, and not down about Easter, but I just felt, I don't know, I just, the enemy was just saying, "They've heard this stuff before, preacher. They've heard this stuff before." And I want to tell you, you may have heard it before, but it's okay to hear it again. Amen. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And that changes things. If it should change things in us, if we really get that. How many of you got my email this week and clicked on the little video? Yeah, it's pretty much like four people. Y'all beat the first crowd. It was two. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. I get it. You get a lot of emails. If you got the email, go click on the little video at the very top. It's kind of a satirical thing but it's as if the disciples, that theory where the disciples hit his body and all that, and so they're all, the disciples are, they're gathered in a circle, and after Jesus had been crucified, and Peter's leading the charge, and he's like, "Hey, I've got an idea. Everybody gather. I've got an idea." He said, "First of all, we go steal the body, and then we hide it, and tell everybody he's been resurrected." And they're all going, yeah, let's do that. And John's kind of going, "What? That won't work. You know, what's the deal?" And John's like, "Well, but we'll get like riches and rewards too, right?" And Peter's like, no. He said, "We'll get brutally murdered." And then they're going, let's do that. I mean, it's again, stupid video, but it shows you how ridiculous that is. If the disciples are thinking, "Man, this man said he was God, and he said he was going to rise on the third day, and he hadn't done it, but let's go ahead and steal his body and hide it. That'd be a good idea. And tell everybody it happened." It's like, "Oh, and then we'll be persecuted and brutally murdered." No. Something took these disciples from this frightened little covey of cowards huddled in a room, scared to death, who was going to be knocking on their door. And then early historical records, y'all may have heard this before, but according to these early historical records, Matthew was killed by the sword. Mark was dragged to death by horses. Luke was hanged on an olive tree. Simon Peter was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as Christ. James, son of Alphaeus, after surviving being thrown over a 100-foot cliff, was beaten to death with a club. James, son of Zebedee, was beheaded. Bartholomew was whipped to death. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he died. Thomas was stabbed with a spear. Jude was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Barnabas was stoned to death. Matthias, chosen to replace Judas, was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was tortured and then beheaded. John faced persecution and prison until he died an old man, the only apostle to die peacefully. Friends in Christ, this is our Christian heritage. Something that these men experienced caused them to proclaim faith in Christ to a brutal death. You think if they just hid the body, all they had to do at any point to save their life was to say it's a hoax. "Oh, I'll tell you where the body is. Yeah, we hid it. I'll tell you where the body is. just don't kill me. But they all went to their death except for John, proclaiming that he is alive. 3 days he laid in the tomb, and on the third day they find him on the shore cooking breakfast for them. Man, what an awesome God. And because he loves us. He loves us. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Church, that's good news. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do 4 things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.